James chapter number 3. Preacher just preached about this, and that's actually kind of one of the things that I'd been thinking about this for a while, but this verse kind of jumped out when he was reading it. But James chapter number 3, we're going to look at verse number 5. James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Let's pray, and we'll get into it tonight. Father, Lord, I don't take it for granted, Lord, the opportunity to stand here. There's other people that would be far better to do this. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that you help me to be able to convey, guide my lips, guide my words, help my heart, Lord, help my heart to be in this. And Lord, I pray that you just help me to be able to convey what you've put on my heart and be able to illustrate it and help maybe to just warn, just help some here tonight maybe. Lord, I pray that you just guide us and direct us. Help pastors, he's away. Pray that you'd bless him. Help Brother Joe as he's over at Bethel preaching. And I pray that you just be with him, guide his words, and help Mrs. Ross and pastors will be traveling tomorrow. Pray that you'd bless him. Thank you so much for him. Thank you for the pastor that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to go to Song of Solomon. I always wanted to preach out of a Song of Solomon just to say I'd done it once. So, Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. I'm probably pulling this completely out of context in Song of Solomon, but it pertains to what we're talking about tonight. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. It's all in James. Behold how little or how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I've preached a message once about good servants, bad masters, and we talked about fire and water and how things can be a good servant but a bad master, but we're not going to talk about that tonight. But, you know, it's interesting how small a fire can start. You know, how did the wildfires start out west? It's just one little spark, one little flame, and it's acres, thousands, millions of acres, whatever burns because of one little spark. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. We're going to read this out of context, I know, but it's interesting because it's very applicable, okay? Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Why is it the little foxes spoil the vines? Because they're cute. No, think about this. Think about this. If it's a big fox, everybody shoots them. But the little ones are cute, and it's okay. It's just a little thing. He's not going to eat that much. And before long, that little fox spoiled the vine. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians, you see that a lot in people's, not here, praise the Lord, but in the world, you know, their kids are completely acting like heathens. Oh, it's cute. Yeah, it's cute, all right. Little foxes spoil the vines. Little things. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 6. Verse says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And if you read that in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they had allowed some, what they would consider a little sin. They thought they were spiritual enough to handle this. And they had let that in. And Apostle Paul, under inspiration, said, you know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know, it doesn't take very much yeast to have the whole lump full of yeast. It produces, it grows. Tonight, I'm going to talk about this thought, and I young people, maybe it's for young people, but I think it's applicable. I know it's applicable in my life, so hopefully it's applicable in everyone's life. And it's not going to make sense probably to start with, but I want to talk about the principles of the wedge. The principles of the wedge. A wedge is one of the six simplest machines, all right? And you think, well, that's not a machine. Yes, it's if you go back to science and they defined machines. There was different. There was basically, they came up with like six different, an inclined plane, all right? If you, going back to physics and everything, an inclined plane, a wheel, these type of, a fulcrum, these type of things were the simplest of mechanisms that they could accomplish. Okay, they didn't have cranes to build the pyramids, okay? They had this type of thing. They had wedges. They had fulcrums. They had inclined planes. And we're going to talk about the wedge tonight because the devil is a master at using a wedge. A wedge. And we're going to bring this back, and I'm going to use the Bible, and I want to show you, I believe, Lord's helped me with this because it's very interesting how the devil works. Brother Chad, what is a wedge? All right, I like the visual illustration, so I brought some visuals with me. All right, I brought two wedges. Okay, a wedge is a very simple device. It's an inclined plane is basically comprised of two inclined planes. So an inclined plane is basically like the ramp out here. Okay. That is an inclined plane. And there, an inclined plane is used to improve your mechanical advantage. Well, a wedge is simply two inclined planes put back to back. All right, so that makes sense. So if you split this in half, you'd have one inclined plane. A wedge is two inclined planes. An inclined plane is used to move an object, perhaps to a higher level, by means of mechanical advantage. Okay? And it's mathematical. You can figure it all out. It's not that hard, honestly, to figure out how much force. Now, I can figure out how much force, but I can't figure out how much force with normal weight and gravitational weight. Once you put those figures in, it gets a little complicated. So I can't really figure that out. But let's say, for the instance, this ramp out here, it's got a 6-degree slope, okay, which is ADA compliant. And it's got a 6-degree slope, okay, and that slope will, based on the length of the ramp, it will give you a mechanical advantage of 10 to 1, okay? So 10 to 1, you'll have a mechanical. So if we're trying to get a piano, all right, a heavy piano from, you know, the level of the driveway to the level of the platform out there, okay, it would take 10 times as much strength to pick it up and set it up there as it would be for us to push it up the ramp. Take 10 times as much strength. Okay, that's what an inclined plane does. It increases your mechanical advantage. All right, a wedge, on the other hand, is used to divide things, to separate things. We use wedges all the time. Every time you pick up a knife is simply a wedge. Okay, it's a wedge. It's a very small wedge, but guys, it's a wedge. That's what it is. And it's used to divide things. Now, a knife that's properly sharpened, which most people don't properly sharpen their knives. Most of my knives right now are not properly sharpened. But a knife that's properly sharpened will not have two wedges. It's a solid plane. And it gives that the most, and what's the difference on a razor blade? Well, it's a very minute wedge. And the more minute, the easier it is for it to cut. But it's still the same principle. It's used to separate. Well, Brother Chad, how does that work? Okay, a wedge, if you see a wedge like this, a wedge uses force applied to the top to exert force sideways. Okay, so force applied to the top exerts force sideways. But because it's an inclined plane, I know this is a physics lesson. This stuff interests me. But honestly, to understand what we're talking about tonight, you need to understand this. But the purpose of the wedge is to transfer energy applied on top outward. But because of the mechanical advantage, you do not have to apply near as much energy on top to separate it on the sides. Okay, does that make sense? All right, for instance, I could have the two strongest young men come up here, and I've got a 4x4 block. All right, and I could have the two strongest young men up here, and they could both grip this board as hard as they could and try to pull this board apart. It would be humorous to watch. Okay? I could put lag bolts into this board where they have a better grip and I could hook all of these guys together on lag bolts, pulling opposite directions and they could not pull this board apart. But I could take the youngest child here, and given time, with a wedge and a hammer, they could destroy this piece of wood. That is the advantage of a wedge. That's the mechanical. It's just a mechanical advantage. It's a physics thing. We use wedges every day. A knife, a shovel is a wedge. It separates as it pierces. Have you ever tried to dig a hole with a flat spaded shovel? It's rather hard versus taking a pointed shovel and digging, okay? Especially if the ground's hard, all right? So we use these things every day, and most of the time we don't even think about it, all right? Many of the machines we have incorporates a wedge. A wedge can lift things. A wedge can lift things. There again, I mean, when I say it lifts, I mean if I'm putting a wedge under here, it's still separating this board from this board. Does that make sense? So I'm still separating things. It's amazing how much power a wedge has. All right, I did some very simple, because I want this to stick in your mind. I hope this sticks, because the devil's going to use this. If he's not right now, he will use this. Here's a wooden shim. Typical wooden shim, all right, like you buy anywhere. You divide the length of the shim by the height of your tallest spot, okay? So you divide the length, which let's say this is 8 inches, it's actually like 7 7/8, but we'll say it's 8 for ease of calculations. So we'll divide this by, this is a quarter inch on the end, so 8 inches divided by 0.25 is 32, okay? So that means that I have a 1 to 32 mechanical advantage when I use a shim. 1 to 32. You realize that that means that if this was like a piece of steel and neither surface would flex, okay? So if I'm driving in a hard surface where I can, and not neither surface is deviating, it would only take, for me to drive this in all the way, it would only take 32 pounds of pressure on the end to raise 1,000 pounds. 32 pounds of pressure to raise 1,000 pounds. Okay? Now that's minus friction. Friction does take away a significant amount. But mathematically, 32 pounds is all it would take. Okay? For me to use this wedge. Now, obviously, the longer the wedge or the more shallow, obviously these are almost the same length, okay? But this is significant. This is an inch and a half. For me to pick up 1,000 pounds with this requires 187.33 pounds of force here to pick up 1,000 pounds, okay? So mathematically, but still, you say, "Bro, Chad, that's a lot of poundage." Well, not really. I mean, in the whole scheme of things, 187 pounds, I know that when we worked at the farm, Dad's got a 20-ton shop press, 20 tons, 40,000 pounds. And we could move stuff with a 20-pound sledgehammer that you could not move with a 20-pound or a 20-ton press. And I can't even go into that. That's completely out of my realm. But I guarantee you, I can hit with a 6-pound sledgehammer enough force, kinetic energy, to be 187 pounds, guaranteed, okay? And that's only a 6-pound sledge. I love 6-pound sledges. They're perfect, all right? But you get up to 12-pound, you're getting up to 20-pound sledges, okay? You're talking about serious, serious energy being conveyed. Now, you think about that, all right? Let's say I'm putting 1,000 pounds of pressure on top of this, all right? This has a conversion ratio of 5.33. So if I'm putting 1,000 pounds of pressure into this piece of wood, I'm pushing from the inside of this piece of wood almost 6,000 pounds out. Okay? You ever wondered why log splitters work so well? That's the whole science. And the whole thing about, you know, well, I've got a 40-ton log splitter. But you ever notice it says splitting force? They compound the hydraulic capacity with a mathematical equation to come up with that splitting force. That's why you've got a really big log splitter. It's not that big. All right? So, Bridget, what are you getting at? All right? Let me illustrate this way. All right? So, for a log splitter. We're talking about log splitters. A lot of you have log splitters. To have a 30-ton log splitter, that's 60,000 pounds of pressure, okay? You could have a wedge that's 12 inches long, 3 inches wide at the back. To generate that, you would only have to have 7.5 tons of pressure to produce a 30-ton log splitter, okay? 7.5 ton, that's all you'd have to have. Easy by any hydraulic standard, okay? Generates 49,000 pounds per square inch is what that generates. A lot of pressure. But Chad, what are you talking about? How is this in spiritual truth? Well, I'm going to show you. Okay, I'm going to show you. I hope this will be a help to you tonight. There's some unique things about a wedge that we're going to look at this evening. I'm just trying to warn you what will happen, young people, or what is happening right now in probably some of your lives. Adult, young people, it don't matter. Okay? Because the devil is a master at driving wedges. Sometimes we get discouraged about families that are being separated, young people that leave the ways they've been brought up, et cetera, et cetera. And listen, I'm not mad. I don't get mad at people. I hurt for people, okay? Because God didn't design a family unit to be broke apart. There is no strength left when it's broke apart. The more it breaks apart, the weaker it gets, okay? Where does that start, Brother Chad? I'm going to challenge you tonight. It starts with the tip of the wedge. The tip of the wedge. You know the wedge starts out small. The wedge starts out small. A knife blade starts out really small. A wedge starts out really small, okay? It doesn't take a lot, and the devil can start a wedge. But Chad, that's just a little thing. It was just a little thing. It can start with just a small thing. The whole purpose of the wedge is to create a mechanical advantage. It allows the user to exert minimal force with maximum results. The more gradual the slope, the greater the advantage. The devil knows that most families, most lives in here tonight, cannot be pulled apart by an aggressive in your face, I'm going to attack you and pull you apart. But everybody in this room, every family, every marriage can be divided by a simple wedge. Everybody. Nobody's exempt from this. Okay? And what happens is, a lot of times, remember what I said, the more gradual the slope, the greater the mechanical advantage? What happens a lot of times is it's so gradual, we don't even realize what's happening. We've let one little thing get in, and it's starting to fester, and starting to build, and before long, it's like, well, I feel like I'm distancing from them. Are you? Are we? Are we distancing ourselves? No one could pull this wood apart, but given a hammer and a wedge, a small child could. The devil uses little things to destroy a young person, a family, or a church. It's amazing how many times a little word spoken wrongly or perhaps interpreted wrongly can cause huge consequences. This is what happens. I'm going to give you some illustrations tonight, okay? And I want to help you because some of these are applicable. Some of them just be like, maybe it'll trigger your brain sometime later. You know, pastor will be up here preaching, and he'll preach something, and he preaches hard. That's good. That's good for us. But he'll hit something that you don't, you know, that kind of hurts. Hey, it does it to me all the time, all right? You're not the only one. It's like, man, preacher, why'd you have to preach on that, you know? Well, then if we're not careful, what happens is the devil says, all right, I got to start right there. All the devil needs is a start, just a little spot. And he don't even take his sledge out, and he don't even drive it home. You know what the devil does? I brought a glove so I don't hurt the pulpit. You know what the devil does? The devil don't hit it hard. He just takes his hammer, just a little. You know what? That wedge that was just sitting there a while ago, it started. And you know what? The devil, he may let you sit. He may let you sit and soak and sour or whatever you're going to do. And you think, well, preacher's just out to get me. Preacher said something. I don't, and you know what starts happening? And this is what happens, okay? I'm being honest with you. Because you said, Brother Chad, how do you know that? Because it's happened in my life. You know, there's been times in my life I didn't want to talk to pastor. No, I'm just being honest with you. There's times when you go out this door instead of going out that door. What is that? You see this gap right here? It's little. No big deal, right? I mean, the wood's cracked anyway, Brother Chad. Oh, we'll get to that part in just a minute. The wood's cracked. It's no big deal. If you look at it from the top, it's just a little. It's no big deal. It'll get over. No, things don't just get over by themselves. As long as the wedge is there, the crack is there. And then you know all the devil honestly has to do every once in a while. You know, you'll go three services and it'll be like, oh, okay, you know, I'm uncomfortable still, but, you know, everything's good, everything's fine. And then he'll say, oh, why'd you have to do that? And then you get irritated. And you know what's happening, whether you realize it or not, this crack right here, you know what's happening to it? It's getting wider. And your separation, young people, this is true with your parents. You don't like something your mom and dad say, and then it's like something inside of you. You know what that is that bristles up inside of you? It's your pride. That's what it is. Okay? Listen, I'm there too. I've got it too. I've got pride's my worst enemy. All right? I'm not dogging you guys. And that's, you know, sometimes you got to be self, you know, that's part of growing up. You're wanting to be independent. Your mom and dad says, hey, you shouldn't do this. And it's like, oh, but I want to. I want to do that. And before long, the devil says, I see a weak spot. Let me put the wedge right there, and I'm just going to tap it once. You know what? That crack sits there and sits there and sits there. And then something else your mom and dad says, for long, it's another pop right on top. Another pop on top. Well, Brother Chad, it's not, nothing's blowing up. Nothing's happening. All right? Well, it happens at church. Everybody thinks, well, pastor's talking about me again. You know, quite honestly, he's probably not even thinking about you. You know what that is? It's the devil sitting up there, just pecking away. He's got all day. All he has to do, peck, 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 all day. And we let him do it. And if we're not careful, it starts building in our mind, and the devil sits on your shoulder, and he'll start formulating this theory about all the hit. And then you start, well, they're starting to look at me weird now. I am not kidding. This happens. And if you're not careful, the devil just keeps, young people, if you're not careful, the devil's going to drive a wedge between your mom and your dad and you. And he's going to drive it, and he's driving it, and drive it. Well, Brother Chad, I'm going to be by myself one day anyway. Yeah, but you're going to be in pieces by yourself. Something unfair you don't like. In the whole scheme of things, it probably really doesn't matter. It's those little things. It's the little points that the devil starts, and he starts putting them in there, and he starts driving them. He starts driving them. You know, the most powerful wedges. Remember what I said. The longer the distance, the greater the what? Mechanical advantage. Do you know the strongest wedges are the ones that take the longest to drive? The strongest wedges are the ones that take the longest to drive. Some people sit in church for 10, 20 years, and something happened 10 years ago that you're upset about, and for 10 years, the devil just slowly just pecks, pecks. Pecks. Well, Brother Chad, there is no visible, you know, I can't see anything happening. I mean, there's no visible, I mean, I don't even hardly see a crack. Those of you guys that have log splitters, which pieces of wood are you worried about? The ones that the wedge goes all the way through and, you know, as soon as the wedge hits it, it just pretty much falls apart. Or the ones when the wedge starts going through, you're almost to the bottom before the thing pops and you can hear the log splitter creaking. It's like that, and it's trying to go hard. You know the most violent things that happen, and they can hurt you, are the ones that don't blow until the very end. Yeah. and then they blow apart. The longest wedges have the strongest pull. Husbands and wives, the devil is a master at driving wedges in a married couple's life. You know, something little, and hey, Brother Chad, you said the other day that you and your wife have never had an argument. Actually, we had one the other day. It was actually kind of funny. She said, she's like, I love you. And I said, I love you more. She's like, I love you most. And I said, I love you mostest. And we've argued about it for like 4 days. All right? So we have had an argument. I don't know if that counts, but we did. But you know what happens? And listen, it's happened to me. You know, something that I didn't really think that was right. Okay, you've got two different people living in the same house. Okay, we have been married 9 years, but you're still two different people. You've got different needs, you've got different wants, you've got different desires. You've got two people living in the same house. You're not always going to see eye to eye. Sometimes there is going to be some friction. Okay, now what you do with that, that's completely a different story. Okay, but you know what the devil does? He'll start with something little. And, you know, you go off to work one day, guys, and I've done this. I'll go off to work and I'll be fuming about it. Whatever. You know, I try to be real easy keeled, but inside, man, I am upset. You know, I didn't get eggs this morning or whatever it is, you know. And you're upset. And you say, Brother Chad, that would be stupid. Most reasons are pretty stupid. Excuse me. Foolish, ignorant, imbecilic. Whatever, okay? Most reasons for a fight in a marriage are really, you know, it's without pride, or without, only by pride cometh contention is what I was trying to say, okay? And usually it's my fault. But you know what? Instead of getting it right, the devil sits on your shoulder and then he'll start pecking at it and pecking at it and pecking at it and pecking at it. And, you know, before long, you know, that whole it's separation thing? For long, it's easier not to talk than it is to talk. It's easier to not say anything than it is to say something and regret it. What is that? It's this drawing away. It's that separation. We always say what God hath put together, you know, we take our wedding vows, what God hath put together, let no man put asunder. And so many times we let the devil uses wedge in our marriages to drive things away. Instead of getting reconciled, every little thing that is done or perhaps a need that wasn't met acts like a wedge and drives a separation in it. Sometimes you see the separation happen slowly, other times it happens all at once. Well, Bertrand, I never saw that coming. And man, when it came, it probably started 10 years ago with one little thing that wasn't fixed. You know how I can fix this piece of wood right now? Take the wedge out. That's all I got to do. But our pride doesn't want us to, you know, young people, your pride doesn't, listen, I've been there. My pride doesn't want me to get things right, because if I have to go and I have to get things right, that means I was wrong. I don't like doing that. I don't like admitting I was wrong. Okay? The second thing, so the wedge starts out small. The second thing we're going to look at is the wedge must be placed in the right spot. Now, I want you to listen to me, because this is important. I can take this wedge out, if I can get it out now. I can take this wedge out, and I can sit this board like this. I can drive all day long, and I probably never would get through it. Okay, but you know that on a piece of wood, there's an interesting thing. There's an interesting part, especially on, you know, obviously anything like this. Okay, you see that circle right there? What's that called? The heart. The heart. You know where the wedge is the most effective? Is at the heart. At the heart. There's two places when you're splitting firewood that you always look for. You look for the heart. Or you look for, right here, it's a distressed crack. All wood will split. If you look at the top of a piece of wood, all the wood will split. If you can throw that wood around and get your wedge right on that split, pop it. even if it's got knots in it. It's a pre-stressed place or the heart. You know where the devil targets young people? He's going to target your heart, or he's going to target a wound. If he's got a spot that he can get his wedge, he's going to start driving and he's going to start pecking. He's going to target your heart and he's going to target a wound. Married couples, church members, you know where the devil is going to target? He's going to target your heart and he's going to target a wound. Well, Brother Chad, you don't know, it wasn't fair. I don't know about the fair, but if you let it fester and you let it grow, it's just going to blow everything apart. Blow it apart. The devil's wedges will have minimal effect if they are not placed in the heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You know, young people, I want you to listen to me. Your whole life, we pastor and your parents, we keep our hands right here like this. Okay? Are you listening to me? You keep your hands right here like this. And it's not that the devil don't try to drive a wedge. And you know who takes the brunt of that? The people that have their hands here. Because they're protecting the heart. Because they know the value. If the devil can get to your heart, he can destroy everything. And your pastor and your parents, sometimes they take things for you that you don't even know about. And they take the brunt of that on their hands because they're protecting your heart. But at some point, kid turns 16, 17, 18, mom and dad and pastor, they start kind of, okay, we've protected them, we've held them. Now we let go. What are you going to do with that moment when that protection, and some people get mad. Well, I don't understand. Why don't they just let me have any freedom? You want the freedom? You want the heartache? You want them just let go and let the devil just destroy you? Is that what you want? I don't get that. I wouldn't want to be the parents. I would hate to be the parent that says, "Here, she's 12. He's 12. Go ahead. Let them have." But some people do that. Some people just let the world have their kids. Well, we're protecting you. We're protecting your heart. But at some point, hey, you're a big boy, you're a big girl. We don't protect your heart anymore. But you know, go to Proverbs and see how many times the Bible says in Proverbs, "My son, give me thine heart." You know what a wise young person says? It says, "Okay, your hands are off, but hey, dad, young ladies, dad, can you put your hands back there for a while? And only let things in that you perceive as being safe. Mom, can you help me for a little bit?" "No, I'm all right. I'll handle it all myself." And then the devil's got access to your heart and he's got access to a wound. And you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. At some point, we want the young people to make decisions on your own. So when the devil tries to drive a wedge, you will recognize it for what it is. At some point, you have to have control over your own heart. You have to control over the things that you let start, the voices you listen to. I think one of the most painful things for a pastor or a parent or a grandparent is to hold and protect that heart for 18 years. And then as soon as given opportunity, the devil sticks a wedge right there, and he starts driving. And that relationship that you had with your mom and dad that may have been a good one for 18 years starts to slowly. You know what it is? It's a pretty girl, guys. This is a pretty girl. Anyway. This is one of these guys. All right? But you know, it's funny, but it's not funny. Because you know what destroys more of you and what the devil has his eye on? He knows as soon as you get out. Some of you guys, some of you young men have been doing good. You've been doing good, but as soon as you get out, couple blows from somebody that got your attention, and you're not the same. And he will destroy you. Girls, you let the wrong guy have your heart, you will be destroyed. I promise. There is no exception to this rule. Okay? You do not have the strength inside you to withstand this. Okay? Marriages don't have the strength here. If you let something, okay, you know what the devil does? The devil knows that you didn't have a good night last night at home. And so when you go to work the next day, there's a pretty girl standing there that says, you know, hi. And she gives you the attention. You know what that is? It's the beginning. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Listen, what is that? He's targeting a wound, perhaps. He's targeting your heart. He's targeting what you think you need. The devil has a coworker that says just the right thing. The devil has someone ready to meet your needs when others can't. It always starts small. Pretty small. Always starts small. Always starts, Proverbs chapter number 6. I'm going to flip there. Proverbs chapter 6. Guys, listen to me. Some of you guys are doing good. But you, if you're not careful, some girl's going to bat her eyes at you. All right? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25. All right, let's look at verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, tie them about thy neck. I think my son could also be considered my daughter. I don't think that's doing injustice there. My son, my daughter, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon where? You know what that is? That's exactly what I was talking about. Mom, Dad, these are the rules that you've put. Now, I know I'm not under them anymore, but I'm going to bind them on my heart. What does that do? Oh, let's look. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. You know, I always wonder what went through Sisera's head when he went into jail's tent that day. I don't know. I mean, he obviously was hungry. He's always thirsty. He's obviously running away. But I don't know. Maybe he had other intentions. But when you do what's right, young men, even when you sleep, it protects you. I don't know. Side thought. For the commandment is a lamp, verse 23, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in where? Thine heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. You know who the devil wants, guys? He wants you. You know who the devil wants, young ladies? He wants you. You know who the devil wants, married couples? He wants couples that have been together for decades, or for a long time, or for just a few years. That's who he wants. But he knows that if he can get you, he destroys your family. He destroys your children. How many times have you seen it? It blows apart. Nothing's the same. It always starts small. Sometimes it's slow. Brother Chad, I've got this bitterness thing under control. Yeah. And it's driving a wedge between you and, honestly, most of the people around you. The result, however, are devastating. There are people that won't admit it, but the devil's been slowly driving a wedge between them and their husband or their wife for years. It isn't fast. Never as fast, usually. Just a little peck here, little peck there. Young people, some of you are starting relationships, whether it be friends or otherwise, that are causing a wedge to be driven between you and those that love you the most. Church members have allowed an injustice, whether real or exaggerated, to drive a wedge between them and their pastor. They're uncomfortable around them. They don't want to be around them. What is that? It's a wedge that the devil has used to drive it through. The results are obvious. wasn't hard at all. Two pieces. Well, Brother Chad, what happens? You know what? Remember what I said about pastor? It's very frustrating when he spent the first 18 years of somebody's life trying to protect their heart. Thankfully, and God's this way, but he'll take however much more time and he'll take the pieces and say, well, we got this and we got this. And let's get to work and let's see what we can build. Let's see what we can do with the scraps. Let's see what we can do with what's left. But wouldn't it be so much better if that never happened? I don't know how many times I hit that wedge, and obviously I didn't hit it hard. I'm going to hit it hard up here. Didn't take much. And I could do what, you could probably harness every man in this room to a chain with a lag bolt in it, and you probably couldn't pull it apart. Honestly. And I did in just a few whacks. Brother Chad, how does the devil work? He starts with something small, young people. Starts with an injustice. It wasn't fair. All right, hey, life's not fair. Okay? But what you do with that wedge will determine what happens to your life. Get it out of there. Some of you need to go, some of you need to make, hey, listen, pastor's not here. I know Mrs. Ross is here, but she don't have to listen to this. All right? Listen, pastor's not here. Some people need to get some stuff right with pastor. You're never, if you've always got that wedge and there's always that separation, before long, you're going to blow out of here because there's been a wedge driven. You know, honestly, pastor probably doesn't even know it's, he probably don't even know it's, well, you wouldn't believe what he said to me. A, he probably really didn't say it to you. He probably said it to everyone. And the Holy Spirit just said, hey, that's you. Some of you probably need to get some stuff right with pastor. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we had a whole church congregation that was not this, but a huge tree that wouldn't let anything in to divide it, to separate it? Do you know what happens? Now I've got a new log splitter I built that I can split some pretty big stuff. But you know, I can't split something huge. But you know how I split something big? I start on the fringes. I start working my way around, finding those wounds, those cracks. And I start working my way around. And before long, what used to be this is now this and is now this. What happens to it? Why does a church die, Brother Chad? Because the devil uses his wedges and starts with a church that's this and knocks it down to this and this and this. And before long, he's down to the heart. And he can take his wedge and put it right there, push on that lever, and that thing pops. And that church is no longer there. Where did that start? Because of a picture that you looked at, because of whatever. It's the little things, young people, that will divide you and your mom and dad. It's the little things that will separate you from your pastor, okay? He loves you. Your mom and dad love you. Don't let the devil drive a wedge. Some of you need to get right with your mom and dad. Hey, there's probably husbands, wives, and you can go talk some stuff, okay? Listen, this big of a congregation, all right, it happens, okay? The guy I was talking to today, I said, hey, we was talking about church. And I said, you know what, we're trying to teach the next generation. And he kind of brought this up. And I said, you know, me and my wife have been married for 9 years, and honestly, we've never really had an argument. And he said, well, you ain't married. and then he told me, he's like, well, I've been married 2 or 3 times. Okay, what's it worth? What's it worth? Doing it right and not letting the devil. Because listen, there's times that I have to get things right. I have to get things right with my wife sometimes. But isn't it better to swallow my pride and say, I'm not going to let the devil drive something here, than it is to let this And then you've got, what is a divorce? That is a divorce. Okay? And you know who benefits from that? No one. No one. And then the devil's going to, if you've done it that, then the devil starts here. And then he starts here. And then he starts here. Behold how great a matter a little fire, what's the next word? You know what fires start with? Not inferring blazes. They start with kindling. The littlest of sticks that burn. And before long, you've got huge fires. What needs to be done? A reconciliation, a removal of whatever wedge is there, whether it be between your mom and dad and you, between your parents, between your pastor. Get things right. Get things right. There's no sense living life that way. Listen, it's no fun. I've done it before. It's miserable. It's miserable. But the devil's a master. Little things. I got him here. I got him there. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for this that you've kind of helped me with. I never really thought about it until I started kind of studying it. And Lord, I know in my life there's been times that the devil's really tried to drive a wedge between maybe me and my mom and dad, or me and my pastor, or me and my wife. And Lord, by the grace of God, I've tried to get rid of all those. And Lord, it's sometimes the devil wants to drive a wedge between us and you. Sometimes we get mad at you about things, and the devil just keeps working. And pretty soon we say we quit believing in God because of some small injustice that we perceive. God, I pray we'd help recognize it when the devil starts things. Lord, help these young men. God, there's going to be a young lady with subtle of heart that wants to destroy their lives. And if they're not careful, that young lady's going to start driving a wedge between that young man and his mom, and that young man and his dad. I pray, Lord, that they'd be wise. Help a young lady here, Lord, that young ladies are very susceptible to letting something come and drive a wedge, and I pray that you just guard their hearts. Help us right now make decisions that would safeguard them against future attacks by the devil. Lord, help us to guard our heart. Help us to keep our heart with all diligence. Help us to watch out for the little things that the devil has that he wants to divide, to destroy our lives with. Lord, I pray this was a blessing to those tonight. Help maybe be something they can remember, they can take with them. In Jesus' name, amen.